ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பகவத்கீதா சாப்டர் 17, சாப்டர் என்டைட்டில்ட் த டிவிஷன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஃபெய்த், டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 14. தேவத்விஜகுரு பிரஜா பூஜானாம் சௌச்சமார்ஜவம் ப்ரஹ்மச்சரியம் அஹிம்சாச்ச ஷாரீரம் தப உச்சதே. ட்ரான்ஸ்லேஷன்: ஆஸ்டெரிட்டி ஆஃப் த பாடி கன்சிஸ்ட் இன் வர்ஷிப் ஆஃப் த சுப்ரீம் லார்ட், தி பிராமணாஸ், த ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் மாஸ்டர் அண்ட் சுப்பீரியர்ஸ் லைக் தி ஃபாதர் அண்ட் மதர், அண்ட் இன் கிளென்லினஸ் சிம்பிளிசிட்டி செலிபசி அண்ட் நான் வைலன்ஸ். பர்போட்: த சுப்ரீம் காட் ஹெட் ஹியர் எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ஸ் த different kinds of austerity and penance. First, he explains the austerities and penances practiced by the body. One should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to the demigods, the perfect qualified brahmanas and the spiritual master and superiors like father, mother or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. These should be given proper respect. One should practice cleansing oneself externally and internally, and he should learn to become simple in behavior. He should not do anything which is not sanctioned by the scriptural injunctions. He should not indulge in sex outside of married life, for sex is sanctioned in the scripture only in marriage, not otherwise. This is called celibacy. These are penances and austerities as far as the body is concerned. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shal. So we welcome you for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are reading from the 17th chapter, text number 14. So in this particular verse, Krishna is talking about the austerities of the body. So every person in this world cannot actually avoid some austerity. Whether a person wants to practice spirituality or whether a person does not want to practice spirituality, like, the nature of the world is designed in such a way that one has to practice some austerity or other. Like, even somebody may not practice spirituality, but then we see, like, people really work hard in order to earn their livelihood. They go in local trains. Just going in a local train and working and coming back to home, that itself is a big austerity. And breathing such polluted air. And so austerity is something inevitable. But here Krishna is recommending, what is the real austerity of the body? What is the austerity of the body one should perform? Krishna says, austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother. So this principle of respect and worshipping the superiors is actually very important. Usually, we see that in the modern education system, a person may not have respect for the teacher, or a person, either the student or the teacher, individually they may have any bad habits, but still the knowledge can be transferred from the teacher to the student. But in the spiritual life, unless a person is actually submissive to the teacher, knowledge cannot be transferred. So the character of both the student and the teacher matter. As it is said, spiritual knowledge is state specific. Depending on the consciousness of the student, he can actually attract the mercy of the teacher and he can get the spiritual knowledge. That's why Krishna actually recommends in the 4th chapter of the Gita, Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Krishna says that one should approach a spiritual master and inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. So in this particular verse, both absurd inquiry and challenging attitude are actually condemned by Krishna. Like sometimes people think that when a person takes a spirituality, one has to follow everything blindly. But then Krishna says, no, there is no need to follow blindly. In fact, one should inquire from the spiritual master. So Krishna does not recommend blind following. And not only one should inquire from the spiritual master, but one should inquire in a submissive mood. So sometimes people have a challenging attitude. But by the challenging attitude, one cannot actually access any spiritual knowledge. So in this way, this worship of the superiors is recommended. And cleanliness involves both external and internal cleanliness. External cleanliness involves like taking bath 3 times a day, or at least maybe once a day, we can say. Taking bath, and then internal cleanliness is cleanliness of the internal consciousness, that is, that happens by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And you can say non-violence. Non-violence is ahimsa. Prabhupada says ahimsa means one should not cause any pain to other living entity. When a person can practice non-violence by not giving pain to other living entity. But as long as a person is not aware of his spiritual position at the spiritual part and parcel of God, he will actually continue to suffer all the material miseries. So unless we are preaching Krishna consciousness, unless we preach Krishna consciousness to the living entity, so that by which he can actually get relief from all the pains, we are actually committing violence. So we will see one episode from the Srimad Bhagavatam which tells about how about worship of the superiors. So this episode is very interesting. So this episode comes in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Vyasadeva, who is the author of all the Vedas, who has compiled all the Vedas, Vyasadeva, after writing all the Vedic literature, he was completely dissatisfied. And then when he was dissatisfied, he was actually remembering his spiritual master. He wanted to take guidance from his spiritual master, Narada Muni. So Vyasadeva, this is very important for us, because every person actually goes through dissatisfaction and different phases in his life. But in the case of Vyasadeva, he is actually feeling dissatisfaction after compiling all the Vedas. It means he had practically access to all the material knowledge and all the spiritual knowledge. In this world, like, we feel dissatisfaction because we lack something. When we lack something, we feel some dissatisfaction. We don't have full knowledge. A student, sometimes he feels dissatisfaction when he does not study properly, when he fails in the exam, or somebody else is going ahead of him. But here, Vyasadeva had all the spiritual knowledge and also material knowledge. He had got multiple PhDs in whatever field of knowledge which you may think of. Like in this world, a person studies, gets graduation degree, and then after that post-graduation, and then after he spends 5 years to get a PhD degree. But even when a person gets PhD degree, that is like one particular field in a subject. Like suppose somebody is doing PhD in electrical engineering. In electrical engineering, there are many subjects. So out of those many subjects, we'll just do PhD on one particular small part of that. So, but here Vyasadeva is a person who actually he had all the knowledge, all the material knowledge, all the field of engineering, medicine, arts, commerce, etc. It's like he had multiple PhDs in all the fields of material knowledge and also in spiritual knowledge. So after that he is feeling dissatisfied. So then one should definitely find out why he is dissatisfied and how did he actually solve his problem. So because this is when we find answers to this problem, even our problems will be solved. We can actually find solution to our dissatisfaction. So Vyasadeva, when he was dissatisfied, so he remembered his spiritual master Narada Muni. Narada Muni actually arrives at that place. So there, at that time it is described, the sage amongst the gods, that is Narada Muni, he was comfortably seated and he was apparently smiling, and he addressed the Rishi among the Brahmanas, who is Vyasadeva. So when Narada Muni arrived, so Vyasadeva actually received Narada Muni properly and worshipped him properly. So there is a very nice lesson. Usually when a person is dissatisfied, then he will not deal with other persons in a respectful mood. Because our dissatisfaction will reflect in our attitude towards other person. Sometimes a person goes into the office and then boss becomes angry with the person. Then he comes home and then he actually exhibits his anger on the family members. So when a person is dissatisfied, usually we find that such a person loses his temper and then he does not deal with other persons properly. But here, although Vyasadeva is dissatisfied, when Narada Muni arrived, he received him properly. He gave him a proper seat and he gave him padya, argya, he gave some water for washing his feet. So everything, he received him properly. So the point is that our dissatisfaction should not lead to mistreating, or should not lead to disrespect towards others. So Vyasadeva properly worshipped Narada Muni. So then, Narada Muni immediately addresses Vyasadeva. He says, "O son of Parashar, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization?" So Narada Muni is immediately coming to the point. He addresses Vyasadeva by the word son of Parashar. Because Vyasadeva is actually born in a great family. He is the son of the great sage Parashar Muni. He is sarcastically telling that you are the son of the great sage Parashar Muni. Then you cannot be dissatisfied. How can you be dissatisfied? You are coming in such a great family heritage. So when a person comes in a great family heritage, along with that comes a great responsibility. So then Narada Muni is surprised that he is feeling dissatisfied, although he is coming in a great family. So another point which is to be noted is, Vyasadeva, actually he is a supreme personality of Godhead. He compiled all the Vedas, but he put himself deliberately into ignorance. He became dissatisfied so that Narada Muni could speak him, to tell him about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Arjuna was dissatisfied, Arjuna was confused. And then Krishna actually spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Actually Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord. Krishna simply put Arjuna into ignorance. And then he spoke Bhagavad Gita. But in the case of here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord put himself into ignorance. So that Narada Muni, his devotee, who happens to be his spiritual master, can instruct him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point is that sometimes people argue that why Krishna seems to be like a sadistic enjoyer. He simply always says that, "Surrender to me, worship me," etc. But here we see although in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna put Arjuna into ignorance, but here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he himself put himself under ignorance. So, Krishna is not concerned with whether putting others into ignorance or himself into ignorance. Krishna is concerned with this, with rendering service. For the sake of service, sometimes he puts his devotee into ignorance, and when the service demands, he puts himself also into ignorance. So Krishna is a person, is not a sadistic enjoyer, he simply does the needful. Whatever is needed, whatever service is needed to be performed for the benefit of the living entities, so he does that. So here Vyasadev actually put himself into ignorance so that Narada Muni could instruct him. So Narada Muni is saying, "O son of Parashara, are you satisfied by identifying yourself with the body and mind?" So Narada Muni is indirectly telling him the root cause of his dissatisfaction. The root cause is that you have identified yourself with the body and mind. And after identifying yourself with the body and mind, you have written this literature. That is why you are dissatisfied. So Srila Prabhupada says that one cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to material body and material mind. So one cannot, as long as a person identifies himself with the body or mind, one cannot actually get happiness. So Narada Muni is telling, because whatever literatures you have written, they are actually encouraging people to be in the bodily platform or in the mental platform. So all these literatures are of no value. So that is why you are feeling dissatisfied. So then Vyasadeva is addressing, Narada Muni is addressing Vyasadeva. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Gaurnitai ki jai. So then Vyasadeva is, Narada Muni is addressing Vyasadeva by saying, not only you are the son of Parashar, but your enquiries were full and your studies were also fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work like Mahabharata. So Narada Muni is telling that you have great scriptural knowledge, you have got great scholarship. You have written all the four Vedas, you have written all the Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, etc. So Narada Muni is telling about the scholarship of Vyasadeva. So there is no doubt about the scholarship of Vyasadeva. Although he had great scholarship, still he was dissatisfied. So that means a person may have great academic knowledge, but still one can be dissatisfied. So then, further, Narada Muni is telling to Vyasadeva, not only you have great scriptural knowledge, but you also have realized the impersonal Brahman. So somebody may have theoretical knowledge, but greater than the theoretical knowledge is realization. So Narada Muni is telling to Vyasadeva, you not only have theoretical knowledge, but you even realize the impersonal Brahman. So then how can you be dissatisfied when you are coming from the great family and you are having theoretical knowledge and you also realize the impersonal Brahman? How can you be dissatisfied even after that? So then Vyasadeva starts replying to Narada Muni. So here it is important, because Vyasadeva is actually, when a person is like has performed like great project or great work, in the sense of like has written so many books, and when others glorify him, although he may be dissatisfied, he may not admit his dissatisfaction, because it requires great humility to admit one's dissatisfaction. But Vyasadeva is actually, although Narada Muni glorified him, but Vyasadeva is admitting his dissatisfaction. He says, whatever you have said is true. I accept what you have said is completely true. But despite all this, I am not I am completely dissatisfied. So please tell me the root cause of my dissatisfaction. Tanmoolam avyaktam agada bodham. Please tell me the root cause of my dissatisfaction, which is invisible. So, the root cause of our dissatisfaction is actually invisible. In the sense that one may not be able to find out on one's own as to what is the cause of one's dissatisfaction. Like somebody may be a greatly learned, one may think that I don't need anybody's guidance. But then the root cause of dissatisfaction is so invisible that we cannot sometimes identify on our own. That is why it is important to accept a spiritual master. So accepting a spiritual master is so essential that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, in all his incarnations, whenever he appeared, he would actually accept a spiritual master. Then what to speak of ordinary conditioned souls like us? So then Narada Muni Vyasadeva is saying, please tell me the root cause of my dissatisfaction, which is invisible. And previously Narada Muni addressed Vyasadeva by son of Parashar. But here Vyasadeva is telling Narada Muni, I may be the son of Parashar, but you are the son of Lord Brahma, who is directly the son of the Supreme Lord. So I may have a great heritage as being the son of Parashar, but your heritage is even more glorious because you are directly the son of Lord Brahma, who is born of the Supreme Lord. So Vyasadeva is actually telling, so because you are the son of Lord Brahma, I have unlimited knowledge. So previously Narada Muni told Vyasadeva that you have written all the four Vedas, you have written Mahabharata, etc. So you have got great knowledge. So how can you be dissatisfied? So Narada Muni, Vyasadeva is telling, giving his argument to Narada Muni by saying, okay, I may have all the four Vedas, I may know the knowledge of four Vedas and Mahabharata, but you have got unlimited knowledge. So your knowledge is unlimited because you are directly the son of Lord Brahma. So in this way, Vyasadeva is actually admitting his inferior position in compared to his spiritual master Narada Muni. So he is worshipping his spiritual master, showing proper respect. And then previously, Narada Muni told Vyasadeva that you realize the impersonal Brahman. So you not only had knowledge, but you also had realization. But here, in response to that argument of Narada Muni, Vyasadeva is saying, Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam. You know all the secrets of Vedic knowledge. I may know all the four Vedas and Mahabharata, but you know all the secrets of Vedic knowledge. I may have realization, but you know all the confidential secrets of all knowledge. And then he is saying that Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam Upasito Yat Purusha Purana. I may have realized the impersonal Brahman, but you are the devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, he says that a person who is 100% engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he is actually is an emblem of all knowledge. A person who is 100% engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he is in touch with the Supreme Lord, because of that he is the emblem of all knowledge. So suppose you have a 100 GB hard disk. 100 GB hard disk is like can store so much of data. You may have 100 GB hard disk containing so much of data, so much of information. But then somebody may have just a 1 GB pen drive. But then he has access to a 1000 GB hard disk. So who is actually having greater knowledge. A person with 100 GB hard disk or a person with 1 GB pen drive but who has access to data of 1000 GB. So definitely a person may have just 1 GB pen drive, but then because he has access to 1000 GB hard disk which contains so much more data, like he is actually having more knowledge. So similarly, a person may have lot of theoretical knowledge, he may know many scriptures, but then on the other hand, somebody else may be like engaged in the devotional service of the Lord 100%. So because of that, he is directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Supreme Lord is the source of all knowledge. He has unlimited knowledge. So because a person who is engaged in, he is in touch with the Supreme Lord, so that person is actually having greater knowledge than a person who simply has theoretical knowledge of all the four Vedas. So Vyasadeva is telling to Narada Muni that I may know all the four Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, etc. But then you are directly the worshipper of the Supreme Lord. Because of that, you have unlimited knowledge. So in this way, Vyasadeva is actually putting counter arguments for all the three arguments which Narada Muni put. So then Vyasadeva is saying, Tvam Paryatan Arka Iva Trilokim. Antas, he says that Tvam Paryatan Arka Iva Trilokim. You are like the sun which travel everywhere. Sun travels in all the three worlds. So you are also like the sun. So because sun travels all the three worlds, sun knows what is happening everywhere. Sun knows what is happening in all the three planetary systems. So because Narada Muni is telling to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva is telling to Narada Muni, so similarly because you are like the sun, so you know everything. And then he says, not only you are like the sun, but you are also like the life here. So somebody may, sun may know whatever grass activities which are happening everywhere. But then, a sun may not know what is wrong with the mind and intelligence of a living entity. So then, that is why Vyasadeva is telling Narada Muni, you are not only like the sun, you are also like the life here which is there within the body. Life here is very subtle. So because of that, you know what is wrong with the intelligence of me. You know what is wrong with the mind. What is wrong with my mind. So because of that, you can know, you can tell me exactly what mistake I have performed during while writing the Vedic literatures. So in this way, and Vyasadeva is further saying that, he is saying that actually, in order to realize the absolute truth, I actually followed all the processes which are recommended in the Vedic scriptures. Paravare Brahmani Dharmato Vratai. I followed all the vratas. I followed all the processes like charity, truthfulness, everything I followed. But still I am feeling dissatisfied. Just like suppose a student is performing an experiment to find out the gravitational constant. So he follows all the processes, all the steps of the experiment. And then even after following all the steps, suppose if the result is not coming proper, then he will be like wondering, like, I followed all the steps, but still I am getting exactly opposite result. So he will want to ask the teacher as to what is wrong with me. So similarly, Vyasadeva is telling to Narada Muni, I followed all the processes like charity, truthfulness, sacrifices, etc. Even after that, I am feeling dissatisfied. So please tell me as to what is the cause of my dissatisfaction. What is wrong with me? So then, Narada Muni is telling to Vyasadeva. He is immediately telling that you are not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So Narada Muni is directly telling, coming to the point by saying, what is wrong with you is that you are not glorified the supreme personality of Godhead. Because those literature which do not satisfy the transcendental senses of the supreme personality of Godhead are actually useless. So Narada Muni is directly telling the point. But then Vyasadeva is saying, but I have written the Vedanta Sutra. I have written the Vedanta Darshan. Vedanta Sutra is basically the conclusion of the Vedic literature written in Sutra format. What about that? So Narada Muni in response to that is saying, according to me, your Vedanta Sutra is insufficient. Because you are the author of Vedanta Sutra. And after writing Vedanta Sutra, you are feeling dissatisfied. So how can we expect that the person who reads the Vedanta Sutra be satisfied? Huh? So in this way, he is saying that actually Vedanta Sutra is insufficient because you are feeling dissatisfied. You are the author of Vedanta Sutra. Huh? So Prabhupada says, the compiler of Vedanta Sutra is troubled. So what sort of transcendental bliss can be derived by the readers and listeners of the Vedanta, which is not directly experienced by the author? So then Vyasadeva is putting in another argument. But not only have written the Vedanta Sutra, but there are in certain Puranas, in certain places, have directly glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that I have not glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all. I have glorified the Supreme Lord in certain places. Huh? So what about that? Even after that I am feeling dissatisfied. Why I am feeling dissatisfied, like that he is saying. So then Narada Muni is telling, you might have glorified the Supreme Personality of God in different Puranas, but you have glorified the Supreme Lord as a means to get Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. You have not glorified the Supreme Lord as a goal of human form of life. Like many times, like in India, people may practice spirituality, but the spirituality is like adding lemon to the food. It's like adding flavor to the, you take some dal, sabji, etc. and then squeeze some lemon on the top. So just some flavor, to add some flavor to the sense gratification, they add some spirituality. You say, see, we are also practicing spirituality, they say. So people usually practice spirituality as a means to achieve, as a means to get some wealth, as a means to get liberation, etc. So Vyasadeva said, I have glorified the Supreme Lord in certain places. What about that? So Narada Muni is saying, okay, you have glorified the Supreme Lord, but that glorification of the Supreme Lord, you are not glorified as the ultimate goal. You have glorified the Supreme Lord as a means for the people to achieve certain dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Like that, Narada Muni is counteracting Vyasadeva's argument. But then Vyasadeva puts on another argument. He says, he quotes certain Vedic scripture which he had written. And he says that, see, in this particular scripture, have explicitly glorified the devotional service of the Lord as the topmost. He quotes certain verses from the Vedic scripture. He's saying that, in this verses, have explicitly glorified the devotional service as the topmost. Huh? What about that? Why am I feeling dissatisfied, even though I have glorified the devotional service as the topmost exclusively? So then Narada Muni is counteracting by saying, although you have glorified devotional service as the topmost explicitly in these places, but you are not done repeatedly. Because you are not done that repeatedly, so people will be misguided, you are feeling dissatisfied. Like, if you want to emphasize a particular point, then you have to mention it repeatedly. That is why it is mentioned, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau nasteva 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 gatiranyata. That there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way, except the chanting of the holy name. So three times it is repeatedly mentioned. Because in Kali Yuga people are very forgetful. So Narada Muni is saying, okay, you have glorified devotion service exclusively, but then you have not done that repeatedly. Because you have not done that repeatedly, you have not done that exclusively and repeatedly, you are feeling dissatisfied. In this way, Narada Muni is telling to Vyasadeva. Then, Narada Muni is condemning, he is talking about what is the nature of those literature which do not contain the glories of the Lord. He says, Nayad vachas chitrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrnita karihichit tadvayasam tirtamushanti manasa nayatrahamsa niramantyu shikshaya. He says, Nayat vachas chitra padam harer yasho. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Supreme Lord, which actually purify the whole universe, jagat pavitram pragranita karhichit. The words which describe the glories of the Supreme Lord, they have the power to purify the whole universe. What to speak of the author? It purifies the author and it also purifies the whole universe. Jagat pavitram pragranita karhichit. He says, those literature which do not glorify the Supreme Lord, such literatures are like place of pilgrimage for the crows. Tad vayasam tirtam ushanti manasa. That is like a place of pilgrimage for the crows. So when you see the crows, where do the crows go? So your place may be filled with nice foodstuffs, but crows will only go to the place where only garbage is found. So Narada Muni is telling Vyasadeva, saying that those words which do not glorify the Supreme Lord, they are like place of pilgrimage for the crows. As a garbage, he is saying. And then he says, the all perfect persons who are like the hamsas, the swans. The nature of swans is, when there is like water mixed with the milk, the swan will only take out the milk and will reject the water. It will only look for the essence. So he's saying the all perfect persons who are like the swans, they are like inhabitants of the transcendental abode and they do not derive any pleasure there. Niramanti ushikshaya. Niramanti means they never take pleasure. Sometimes somebody may take pleasure in spiritual literature and he may also take pleasure in some other literature. But then it is mentioned, the all perfect persons, they never take pleasure in such literature. So, in this way, Narada Muni is telling about the literature which do not contain the glories of the Lord. And then he is glorifying the literature, the transcendental literature which contain the glories of the Supreme Lord. He is telling, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddha vatyapi namanyanantasya yashonkitani yach shinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. He says, on the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of name, fame, pastimes, etc., the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So the literature which contain the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is actually, It's a different creation. They can bring about a revolution in this world. So, during our school days, we have studied French Revolution, Russian Revolution, this revolution, European Revolution, American Revolution. So many revolutions have come. But after that, people again, they take to some other cultures, people take to some other practice, culture, etc. These revolutions stay only for some particular time. It's not that they don't bring real transformation of the heart. So what is required is, real revolution is transformation of the heart. So that transformation of the heart can come when a person reads the literature which contain the glories of the Supreme Lord. So many times people ask this question, how do we understand whether your spiritual organization is bona fide or not? There are so many spiritual organizations are there. Everyone is trying that they are giving the right knowledge. They are teaching Bhagavad Gita as it is. How do we know that we are teaching Bhagavad Gita as it is? Because everyone is claiming like that. So when a person comes in contact with a genuine representative of God, when a person comes in contact with a genuine book which contains the descriptions as it is, then there will be real transformation of the heart. By seeing the fruit, we can understand the nature of the tree. By observing the result, we can understand whether the tree is proper or not. So similarly, when a person takes to spirituality, there should be real transformation of the heart. And many times, people take to some spirituality, but then spirituality is like a part of their life. They may say, we are also practicing spirituality. I do Agarbatti every day, 5 minutes a day, in my house. But then the rest of the 23 hours will not have any relation with what they are doing in that 5 minutes. That means there is no transformation of the heart. But when a person comes in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the glories of the Supreme Lord, such literature can bring about revolution in the world's misdirected civilization, in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So we have such literature written by Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita. You may see that Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is translated and Srimad Bhagavatam 18 volumes. So these books have actually transformed the lives of so many people in this world. Transform the lives of people all over the world. So one can take this, one can take help of these books. If a person takes shelter of these books, definitely it can bring about a real positive revolution, positive transformation in everyone's heart. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any question, take it, otherwise. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.